Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2, 3. This is Love University, and we're back. This is Dr. Alex Avila, psychologist, author, and speaker. And it's been a while, actually. You know, I've been actually a little bit sick. I came down with the flu. I came back from the East Coast on a family trip, and I guess I got a little bit of that. But the reason I went back east is my favorite cousin died, and we had a service for him. And it was a very beautiful service. And he was a drummer. He was an athlete. A great family man. And the most important thing that we remember about him, or I remember, is the love. He was a very affectionate and loving man. And really, love is what we remember about people when they pass. And love is really the answer to a lot of problems that we have today. So Love University is about teaching you not just love in a romantic sense, but loving yourself, others, and a higher nature. How to bring that loving energy, that sense of emotionality into your everyday life so that you live with more power and passion. Now today, I'm really excited about today's topic because this is something that we don't learn a lot in school, but we need to learn it. It's called how to be an emotional genius. Think about that, you know, to be emotionally intelligent. Now you can be book smart, but not emotion smart. You can be money smart, but not relationship smart. But what good does it do you to have a lot of money and even success in a career if you don't know how to deal with your own feelings and with other people's feelings? In relationships. So today we're going to talk about how to understand your own feelings and manage them, and how to understand the feelings of other people and have great relationships. Because without that, you will be hard-pressed to really live a successful life, whether it's even in your business world or in your personal life, because emotions are such an integral part. So the first thing we need to know is how to love ourselves. That's crucial. To first of all, be aware of your personality strengths. Now, you know, I've written some books on personality type. You know, I've written very popular. Love types, guy types, and even one called The Gift of Shyness. I'm one of the first to pioneer the idea that shyness can be a positive thing. Shy people are often good listeners or sensitive, but they're often self-conscious. They think a lot about what people are thinking about them. However, sensitivity and feeling can be a very interesting trait. It can be very positive. Feelers are the kind of people that make decisions based on their emotions. If they need to say something to someone, but it may hurt their feelings, they may not say it because they value the relationship more. Someone who's a thinker, on the other hand, someone who thinks through their logic and analysis, may be very straightforward. They may say, "That suit that makes you look fat like a pig." Now, of course, they don't mean to hurt your feelings. They're just trying to cut through the BS and basically say, you know, that's not the right shirt for you to wear or suit. But a feeling person has a different take on relationships. You know, they value the emotions first. Now, either one can be strong. A thinker has their advantages. They're very logical, and they can cut through a lot of the so-called BS. And the emotional people also puts a value on relationships. The key is to first recognize which type you are and then learn how to interact with the other types. For example, let's say you're a thinker in a relationship with a feeler. Now, you need to learn how to think from a feeling point of view. So, for example, they might want you to give a little more feedback, a positive feedback, more appreciation on an emotional level, even though you may not think it's necessary. For them, it is necessary. Or if you're a feeler, you might want to learn how to be a little more straightforward about things. You know, instead of beating around the bush, say what's on your mind and get to the point. Don't worry about hurting the thinker's feelings. The other thing that you want to be aware of in terms of your loving yourself is your emotional needs from childhood. What did you either receive or lack from childhood? For example, let's say your parents were very cold, and now you seek a partner who is maybe very affectionate, or you might seek a partner who is just like your parents, who's cold, and you unconsciously pick that kind of partner, even though you don't really want that. Or maybe your parents were very overly affectionate, so it became too clingy, so you might choose people that are similar to your parent, people that are also very clingy to you, that give you too much affection, and that you want to push away. So when you get into relationships, you want to be aware of, you know, what did I either lack in childhood or have maybe too much of, and I'm trying to get something different. The other thing about loving yourself is how to manage your moods. And the key here is how to respond, but don't react. So in other words, respond to a situation with a person, but don't react emotionally all the time. Like, for example, getting angry. You know, sometimes we, you know, let our tempers take over and we get very angry. We say the wrong things. The key is to take what we call a timeout. You know, time out like a little kid would have. As an adult, you can go out and go to the gym or go shopping or whatever you want to do. And that, in a sense, takes you out of the situation for the moment so you can cool down and intellect can come in. Your logic can come in and say, wait a minute, I don't want to say something to really hurt their feelings. I don't want to, you know, maybe damage a relationship because my emotions are not in tune. The other thing that you want to think about or ponder is, on a daily basis, ask yourself, what is my mood right now? What am I feeling at this moment? You might even write it down and have a little feeling journal. There's a term in psychology called emotional granularity, which means being specific with your feelings. Now, in my private practice in therapy, I work with clients, and I often ask them, how are you feeling today? And many times they say something like, I'm feeling good, or I'm feeling bad. But those are not really feeling states. They're like general terms. A feeling state would be, I'm feeling happy, sad, cheerful, joyous, regretful, eager, enthusiastic. And research shows that people that can define their feelings often have less depression and less mental illness. They're happier people because they know where they're feeling at the moment and how to, you know, improve that if they need to. Now, our society, though, sometimes, especially with males, we don't allow them to show their feelings. We say, that's, you know, you're not being manly enough, right? Or you're being too touchy-feely, even for females. But in reality, this is what I like to tell people, is that emotions can have power. Because when you're in charge of your emotions, you're in charge of your relationships, you're in charge of your work situations, you're in charge of your everyday mood, and it is a very powerful tool that you can have to manage feelings. So feelings is not necessarily a romantic thing or a soft thing. It's a something of strength. Because if you think about it, when you remember something, you often remember the feeling attached to it. You know, that birthday party, you know, everyone smiling and laughing. Or you remember that first feeling when you fell in love with your husband or wife or loving partner, the first touch, the first kiss that gave you that feeling of joy when you first saw your child born, that feeling of ecstasy and joy. These are the moments that we remember. So emotions are extremely powerful, and to manage them is a key. Now, let's say that you're not feeling that good. Maybe you're feeling a little depressed or sad, or you're feeling anxious or regretful. The thing that you want to think about is, how do I elevate my mood? Ask yourself the question, what emotional nutrients do I need to elevate my emotions right now? What are those little things I need to take in my system to do activities? Maybe it's being in nature with animals or children. Maybe it's a spiritual practice, meditation, exercise, the arts, writing, music, being creative in some way, being with your animal, with your pet. Whatever it is that elevates your mood, that's what you need to think about and actually act upon it. You know, think that I'm going to do two things today to elevate my mood, the things I love, whether it's being out with people, my good friends, you know, doing something creative, having some kind of spiritual practice. On a daily basis, how do I elevate my mood? So loving yourself is number one. And then what we need to learn is how to love others the right way. And this is the key, the right way. Because many times people love each other the wrong way. They get into incompatible relationships. They fall in love with an image of someone. And then they find out that a person is not what they really were. So the first thing we need to think about is love someone without necessarily having to need someone. Now, all of us do have dependency needs at times, but you cannot be responsible for someone else's happiness, and they cannot be responsible for your happiness. When you love them, you allow them to be who they are. Sometimes they're happy, sometimes they're sad, sometimes they're nice, sometimes they're not nice. But that love is what keeps you going. And many times people ask me, are relationships 50-50? I say, no, they're 90%, 10%. Which means that there will be times when your partner is going to give you 90%. And you only have 10% to give. Maybe you're sick. Maybe you don't have the energy. And there are times where you're going to give your partner 90%. And they're only going to give 10%. Now, in the long run, it'll balance out. So it might be 50-50. But in the short run, it can be 90-10. It can be a whole different dynamic. The other thing to think about is when you do something bad in a relationship, maybe you hurt your partner without really meaning to by something you said or did, is to look for forgiveness, you know, or try to do something to make it up. Because you're giving them the gift of forgiveness. Even if they don't accept it, you at least have offered it. In my latest book, The Three Secrets of Happiness, I talk about a pompous psychiatrist who goes to the mountains to really find the secrets of happiness. And he meets a monk who is very wise and very powerful. And he teaches him one of the secrets is forgiveness. You know, to forgive yourself for any mistakes you have made, which is, for many of us, the hardest thing to do. Even to forgiving others is difficult. But we forgive not because the other person deserves it, but because we want to clean ourselves. We want to cleanse ourselves of that resentment or whatever that feeling is, and also for ourselves, any mistakes that we think we may have made. Now, here's a very important key. To love others the right way, you need to pick an emotionally intelligent partner. Now, unfortunately, out there are the people that are not very smart emotionally. You can call them dumb emotionally. And these people are very difficult to be with. Now, you may even have been with a partner, or maybe you are with a partner right now who is like that. Now, the way to find out, for example, is that these people cannot control their emotions. They're either angry or they're sad, and you know, they're like all over the place emotionally. Also, they're often oblivious to your own feelings. They don't know how to read your feelings. They don't know when you're happy or sad. So they really are kind of clueless in that way. Another element of the unintelligent emotional person is that they can't maintain friendships. They always say, well, there are always jerks out there and I can't trust anybody. But in reality, they're the ones who are having problems because they don't know how to develop relationships. They don't have the emotional intelligence to do it. And oftentimes they have their volumes too loud. They speak too loudly. They raise their voice. They don't know how to control and monitor their tone of voice. Or maybe they're too sad and they don't have the energy as well. Now, on the other hand, if you pick an emotionally intelligent partner, you will have a great success in your relationship. Because first of all, these are the people that don't play games. They tell you exactly how they feel. They can express themselves. They're honest, emotionally honest. They're able to feel deeply, but still manage their emotions. They don't get swept away by either anger or fear or regret or any other feelings, but they can express them. And best of all, they're empathetic. They can put themselves in your position. They can feel as you feel. So this is the kind of person, when you go through a hard time, a painful time, they will be there for you. When you have a death in the family, you lose your job, you have a health problem, whatever it is that you go through, these empathetic people will be able to be with you, these emotionally intelligent people. So whether it's a love partner or even a friend, you want to pick people that have some degree of emotional intelligence, that they have this desire to be an emotional genius, to go beyond the average in this area. Another important thing is thinking smart when it comes to our feelings. Thinking smart. Now, people don't often combine the idea of thinking with feeling, but in reality, they go together like hand in glove. There's something called reality testing. Ask yourself a question, is this really true? For example, your friend doesn't text you for a couple of days. Oh, wow, they don't like me anymore. You know, they moved on. In reality, you don't know, right? They could be sick, or maybe they're busy, or maybe their phone broke, or maybe they did move on, right? So, but you know, it happens too. But the key is not to take it so personally. There's something in psychology called personalization, where we take it personal. You know, the way people respond to us, they don't call us back, they don't do something. In reality, ask yourself reality questions. What could be going on with this person or the situation in reality? And don't take it personally as if you're the one that's at fault, because many times we always go back to, you know, something about us. You know, we criticize ourselves. It may not be true. And finally, this is one that I really love, this tip, is to develop empathy, to really look into the lives of other people. You know, feel as they feel, you know, walk in their shoes. And some of us are naturally good at that. You know, we sense other people's feelings. We can talk to them and, you know, you look like you're tired. You know, let me make a hot tub for you if this is your love partner. Even as they walk in the door, you can already sense they're tired and they want some loving care. Or your friend. Other people don't have that ability. So one thing you want to do is ask yourself certain questions. This person you're with, you know, whether it's a friend, a lover, a business partner, or an associate, why do they feel the way they do? You know, maybe they're sad today. Maybe they're being short with me because they're angry at their spouse. What are they dealing with that I don't see? Maybe they're going through some psychological issues in their life. Maybe depression, anxiety. Why do I feel differently than they do? Maybe I'm in a better mood today for whatever reason and they're not. Maybe they're in a better mood and I'm not. So I'm going to do something here we haven't done before. And this is very spontaneous. Reggie, I'm going to talk to you as a person. Okay. I want to put myself in your shoes because you told me something very interesting a couple of weeks ago off air. You told me that you have a condition that you've actually overcome. And what is that condition, Reggie?
I have autism.
Okay, autism. Now, autism, I mean, people think of that as someone who's basically in tune with their own world and they have certain behaviors. Can you tell me what that means, Reggie, in your mind?
Well, that means I have trouble interacting with other people. Like, I'm like understanding the unspoken forms of communication stuff and like facial expressions. Like I got it now, but like it's kind of like it took a lot of years of therapy and like experience to get
this yes. far. You know, Reggie, I mean, I'd love to maybe have a show actually with you if you're willing to do it. We can actually talk about your experiences and all that. By the way, Reggie is a 25-year-old Latino male, very brilliant. He's a college student. He's also an engineer in radio. I think he's been a host as well. And he's a very sweet guy. You know, he's very caring. I can tell he's very loving. But he does have this so-called condition, right? We call autism. But he's functional. I mean, not as functional, but he's doing very well. And the key is, everyone's different. You know, we see a person, and I mean, someone might meet you and they think, well, maybe Reggie doesn't like me, right? Because he's looking away or something. But in reality, he may really want you to know you, but he just doesn't know how, right? And you know, he wants to break through that little barrier. And there are other people that are similar. Maybe someone's very depressed and you don't really sense it, but then you start to see their energy, right? And they are depressed. So you can maybe have compassion for them. You know, wow, if I were in that position, I would also be depressed too, possibly, right? And then maybe think of ways that you can raise their level of energy. Maybe talk about positive things in their life. Compliment them. You know, think of something that they really like. So putting yourself in other people's shoes is a brilliant technique, because you lose sight of your own self-centeredness, your own fears, your own inadequacies, your own shyness. And all of a sudden, you become that other person and you connect with them. And you connect with the world in many ways. Every time you connect with a new person in a positive way, you connect with the world in a small way. And that eliminates a lot of depression and anxiety. It makes you a happier person, more joyful. And it makes you an emotional genius. Now today, we've come out and really talked about some very important things. How to be an emotional genius, how to have intelligence in your life, not just in a book way, not in a financial way, not in a career way, but in a real people way, in a relationship way. How to love yourself, how to love others the right way, how to think smart, and how to develop empathy, how to put yourself in the other shoes, how to love other people as you love yourself, which is, as you know, is the golden rule. It's one of the great maxims of life. And Reggie, today, I mean, I appreciate you've come out. You've been very honest with us today. And you come out in this way. And I know it's not easy, right, to talk about these things. But what's the biggest lesson you think you've learned from your autistic journey?
Probably not to let, like, inform my interactions with others, you know, like, oh, this isn't going to work because I'm autistic, you know, just going for like, oh, I'm going to do this. I'm Reggie. I'm going to do it, you know. Don't think of myself as an autistic person. Think of myself as Reggie, you know.
I like that. That's beautiful. By the way, Reggie has a nice beard right now. He has some nice little colorful outfit. You know, he's well-dressed. He's put together nice, you know, a handsome young man. Nice smile. You're blushing, Reggie. Are you getting? Okay. But basically, the belief system that, you know, you don't let a label limit you, right? You don't let other people's opinion limit you. You know, you are just who you are, right? I'm not this. I'm not that. I am I, right? So I am I. Think of that for yourself. So again, Love University is about teaching you how to be your true self, right? Your authentic self. How to move beyond society's labels and other people's opinions and even your own thoughts that have limited you in the past, what I call negative programming. So again, to be an emotional genius is really to love, and to love deeply yourself, others, and higher nature, which is Love University. If anyone wants to send us a message, an idea, wants to be a guest on our show, please call us at 310-226-8090. Write to us at lovetype4u@aol.com. That's LOVETYPE, number 4, letter U, at AOL.com. And of course, our website, which has been up for a while now, it's running nice. It's got our blogs. It's got a lot of things that are very interesting for you, is loveuniversity.love. So again, for Reggie, all the Reggies in the world, all the people out here that want to, you know, be an emotional genius, this is Love University. And until next time, bring your notebooks, your pens, and your open mind. We'll see you soon.